WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The big event in the solar system begins tomorrow when a huge comet starts crashing into the largest planet, Jupiter. We're opening this archive edition of the show with an interview from just a couple of weeks ago with David Levy, a member of the team that discovered the comet. The comet is named after him and his partners, Carolyn and Eugene Shoemaker. Levy is an amateur astronomer who has discovered 21 comets. Comet Shoemaker-Levy has broken up into pieces that will hit Jupiter over a period of 6 days. This is the first time in history we'll be able to watch what happens when a comet strikes a planet. I asked Levy why that's such a big deal.
It's a major deal because comets have had an enormous influence in the history of the Earth and in the development of life on Earth. Comets, we think, brought the Earth's water supply here. If it weren't for a long series of comet impacts over the years, especially the early years, we probably wouldn't have any water here. Also, we think that comets brought the seeds of life to Earth, the carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. That are the seeds of life, the simple alphabet of life, as one scientist has said. But probably most important, a comet impact that's probably about the size of the one that's about to hit Jupiter resulted in the end of the dinosaur era on the Earth 65 million years ago. So with all of this importance that comets have had, it's fabulous that we finally have the chance to see an impact in action, to see something like this actually hit a planet. And fortunately, the planet isn't Earth, it's Jupiter this time.
Yeah, really, I'm glad it's very far away.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be some crash. Give us a sense of the magnitude of the crash of this comet when it hits Jupiter.
Well, if you were to take all of Earth's nuclear weapons, everything that was owned by the former Soviet Union and the United States at the height of the Cold War, put them all in a box and light a match to it, and multiply the result by about 10,000 times. This is about what the energy we're talking about that will be released in the explosions this summer on Jupiter. So it's a major explosion. The bomb physicists are really excited about it. The comet scientists...
The nuclear bomb physicists expect to learn something from this crash?
Oh, yes. In fact, I guess the most famous one of all, Edward Teller, the inventor of the hydrogen bomb, immediately got really excited when he heard that this comet was hitting Jupiter. He's aware of how much energy is involved in the explosion of a comet. The reason that it's going to be so much is partly the size of the comet, but mostly the speed. It's coming down at about 60 kilometers per second, which means about 140,000 miles an hour. These comets are going to be hitting Jupiter at an enormous speed. And all that energy gets released all of a sudden, which means we're going to have a very large explosion. Unfortunately, we don't know how much of it we'll actually see, but there is a lot of energy that'll be released.
How big are these pieces of comet that will strike Jupiter?
That's the big mystery right now. Even though we've observed this comet so carefully with the Hubble Space Telescope, we have not been able to penetrate a thick cloud of dust that surrounds each of the comets. And so all we can do now is give an estimate. They're probably no smaller than about a half a mile across and probably no larger than about 2.5 miles across.
We should explain, this comet has basically broken up, so it's going to crash into Jupiter like it were a string of pearls. It's not going to be one crash, it's going to be a series of crashes.
Yeah, when we found the comet last March, it looked as if someone had stepped on it. In fact, Carolyn Shoemaker, in first seeing the image, said, "I don't know what this is, but it looks like a squashed comet, and it looks as if someone had stepped on it." And what had happened was that on July the 7th, 1992, this comet passed by Jupiter, so close to Jupiter, about 21,000, less than that, about 15,000 miles from the planet's cloud tops. The planet's gravity just reached up almost like a fist and yanked the comet into pieces, and it split it up into more than 20 pieces on that day.
Why are comets formed? Do they have any kind of cosmic function?
Well, comets were formed at the beginning of the solar system. There was a big continuum range of objects. The larger ones formed the planets, The smaller ones were these icy bodies that became the comets. Most of them, in the early years of the solar system, were swung away from this part of the solar system and moved into a new orbit way, way, way far from Earth. We call this the Oort cloud, O-O-R-T, after Jan Oort, the Dutch astronomer who postulated it. And it consists of many millions of comets very far from the Earth. And every now and then a passing star will knock a few of them in orbits that take them back closer to the Earth again. And this is what we think might have happened with Shoemaker-Levy 9.
Now, Jupiter is a gaseous planet like the Sun, but it's much cooler than the Sun. So what happens when a comet crashes into a gaseous planet? It's got to be different than, say, if it hit Earth, a solid mass.
Oh, yes. A comet like this hitting the Earth would make a very large crater in the ground. It would gouge out an enormous area of land. The dinosaur comet 65 million years ago created a hole in the ground that was about 150 miles wide, and it did all that in just a few seconds. This one, though, is hitting Jupiter, which, as you say, is a gas planet, but it's very cold gas. The comets are going to come into this cold gas that has about the consistency of frozen jello. So it's not going to be able to go right through it. It's going to reach a very heavy area of gas and then simply explode in that. The gas is really very cold. It's not in any danger of igniting because hydrogen, even though there's a lot of hydrogen gas, hydrogen needs oxygen in which to ignite, and there isn't any oxygen on Jupiter. So we know that it's different from landing on the Earth, but we really don't know how it's different, and we don't know how long the effects, like any storms that might form in Jupiter's atmosphere, might last. All we know is that there's an awful lot of energy that will be released in a very short time, more than we've ever seen before in our solar system.
Jupiter is the largest planet in the solar system. What else should we know about Jupiter to really appreciate this event that's about to happen?
Well, Jupiter is by far the largest planet in the solar system. In fact, it has 99% of the mass of the solar system, except for the Sun, is out there in Jupiter. Jupiter is kind of like the solar system's vacuum cleaner. If it weren't for Jupiter, we probably wouldn't be here on Earth today because the Earth would be getting hit by major dinosaur-killing comets every million years or so. It would happen so often that life would probably not have ever had a chance to evolve on Earth. But because there's Jupiter out there with its enormous gravity well, it just kind of cleans up the comets. Most of the comets that approach Jupiter go nearby, past Jupiter very quickly, and then escape from the solar system. So we have, it's kind of like how Voyager 2 and Voyager 1 passed Jupiter and picked up speed an awful lot and eventually escaped from the solar system. With a few of those comets, however, they do not escape from the solar system. They continue to go around Jupiter for a while, and as this one is showing us, they actually leave the solar system by hitting Jupiter. We think that the event that we're seeing next month is something that takes place perhaps once every 1,000 years. Maybe a little more often than that, maybe not quite as often as that, but it's a very rare event and something that we're really lucky that we're able to watch right now.
This is the first time we have equipment that can allow us to monitor to some extent what's happening in a crash of this magnitude. So what exactly will astronomers be able to see on Earth?
Well, that's...
That's a good question, right? Nobody knows for sure.
Yeah, that's a real complicated question. Technically nothing, because our seed on Earth is behind a post.
Mm-hmm.
The comets are going to come up from the south, zip around the back end of the planet, disappear, and crash a few seconds later. However, there are a couple of really lucky things that we have in place. There's a large spacecraft called Galileo on its way to Jupiter. Just happens to be in a position where it will be able to see all of the impacts directly. And we should be able to get beautiful pictures from Galileo that show the comets breaking up and smashing into the planet. It could be very spectacular. But the other good news is that less than a half hour after every impact, Jupiter's rapid rotation period will pull the planet around, pull the impact sites around, so that we will then will be able to see everything. We'll be able to see whatever is left after about half an hour, if any little storms have formed, any other effects on Jupiter. The moment of truth is July the 16th at night, when the first of the 21 fragments hits Jupiter. 20 minutes later, Jupiter's rotation moves the impact site so that we can see it. And every major telescope on Earth or in space that can look at Jupiter is going to be watching to see what happens. This is the largest campaign for a single astronomical event in the history of astronomy. It's a very exciting event to watch.
If it's a clear night in our listeners' neighborhoods, will we be able to see anything with our naked eyes?
No, Jupiter is not going to show any changes that dramatic. However, I recommend that people go out to look at Jupiter, because Jupiter is always fabulous to look at. With the naked eye, all you have to do is look in the southwest, tie in the southwest in the early evening. You'll be able to see Jupiter there. With a pair of binoculars, especially if you lean against the wall of a house and point the binoculars up towards Jupiter to give them a little stability, then you might be able to see Jupiter's moons. These are the same moons that Galileo discovered in 1610 and for which he was almost tortured by the Inquisition. You can see those with binoculars. With the smallest of telescopes, you can see bands of lines of clouds around the equator of Jupiter. These are things that are always glorious to look at, and almost everyone does not have that experience of seeing how beautiful Jupiter is. So what I recommend is that you go out there with a telescope or with binoculars and look at Jupiter, just so that you be a part of what's happening out there in this important event in Jupiter's life. But then to come inside and watch the pictures from Hubble Space Telescope coming in on the television is the other way that you'll be able to see what's happening.
This is going to be really loud, isn't it? When the comet crash happens? Is there a way of registering the sound?
Well, there actually is, not so that you actually hear it, but through a type of telescope called a radio telescope, which gathers energy from what's happening in Jupiter. And we should be able to, in a way, hear, but I put the word "hear" in quotation marks, because it's not something we can actually hear over the long distance of space through which the sound would travel. Sound cannot travel in a vacuum, so it's not something we can hear directly. But maybe with a radio telescope, we'll be able to get something like that.
What are you hoping to learn from this crash?
Well, I think the first thing is that we want to learn about Jupiter. We have never been able to penetrate very far below the cloud deck on Jupiter. We know this is the biggest planet in the solar system. We don't know what lies underneath it. We expect that these impacts will create a seismic wave that'll travel through Jupiter, possibly bouncing right off the core. We've never detected the core, and it'll be really neat if we could detect that Jupiter has a core that's about the size of the Earth. The other thing is, we'd like to learn a little bit about what Jupiter's atmosphere is made of. We would like to learn, we've already learned an awful lot about how fragile comets are. You know, it's amazing how there could be objects in space that are as fragile as comets are. You can virtually, if you were to be walking on a comet, you could break a comet apart with your hands. They are hardly put together with anything at all. Probably they are not much more, they're not much stronger than if you had a sphere of water out in space and just sort of sitting there and not moving any place. The interesting thing, though, that it is amazing that something that fragile could last as long as it has. Comets have lasted since almost the very beginning of the solar system. So it'll be fabulous to learn about what keeps comets together and also what tears them apart.
David Levy is my guest. He's an astronomer who has discovered about 21 comets, including co-discovering the comet that we're talking about, the great comet that's about to crash into Jupiter. He's also the author of several books. His two new ones are called The Quest for Comets and Sky Watching. David, let's take a break and then we'll talk some more.
Sure.
This is Fresh Air. Back with astronomer David Levy.
Will the Hubble Space Telescope play a role in this? There was such a long period when it was not functioning the way astronomers hoped. Is it back in shape? And will it help us?
Yes, Hubble Space Telescope is definitely back in shape. The astronauts' attempt to repair it last December was extremely successful. The telescope is doing everything we had ever hoped for it to do. It is a wonderful telescope. It is also capable of showing Jupiter almost as clearly as the Voyager spacecraft showed it. And we have this fabulous telescope that's only really been operating for a year, poised to show us an event on Jupiter that might take place once in 1,000 years. You can't believe what luck we're having. And the telescope is going to be spending a good deal of that week looking at Jupiter, just to see what kind of changes there have been in the planet since then.
What detail do you see exactly in a gaseous planet? It's not like you can see trees and lakes and houses and people.
No. Jupiter, you know, for those of us who saw the Voyager 2 pictures of Jupiter, Jupiter is like a Rembrandt painting. It's absolutely gorgeous, very rich colors, because the different parts of the atmosphere, depending on how high they are, display different colors. The blues are a little lower down in the atmosphere, and the whites are sort of in the intermediate layer in the atmosphere, and the reds, like the Great Red Spot, are kind of very high up in the atmosphere where things are really cold. And you can see these things from any telescope on Earth, really, even a small telescope. Jupiter is a very colorful planet.
Will there be any effects on Earth? Will our weather be changed? Will anything else happen?
No, not this time. We're lucky. We have a 500 million mile distance between Jupiter and the Earth right now, and all the effects are going to be confined to Jupiter. We're not going to have the only effect that it'll have on the Earth is just going to get everybody very excited about seeing something like this. It's really nice to know. You know, when we were in fourth grade and we took our geography class, and in the fourth grade they told us that the solar system was made 4.5 billion years ago. Well, now we know that it's not really true, that the solar system has never been finished. And this summer we're going to see, you and I are going to be able to see, a little bit of the solar system change. There'll be a comet that is not going to exist anymore, and Jupiter is going to have a little bit different for a while. And so the solar system is really a work in progress. It's moving along very nicely, thank you, but it's not finished. And observing Jupiter at this time, when it's undergoing such interesting changes, should really be fascinating.
Where are you going to observe from?
I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. I get to use a large refractor telescope with a lens at the United States Naval Observatory. The Planetary Society is sponsoring a public observing night down there, and I'm going to get to be a part of that. There are public observing nights, by the way, in almost every city in the country. I think if you call your planetarium or museum, I know that Nature Company stores are having an awful lot of public observing sessions in conjunction with the impact. Local astronomy clubs will be having special star parties that we'll be able to go and take a look at Jupiter during that week. There should be a lot of opportunity to go out and enjoy the sight of Jupiter during this important week.
When you look ahead, what are your wildest hopes and your worst fears for disappointment?
It's not really... I can give you my wildest hopes. And that is, of course, that the comets are a lot larger than we suspected, and that they're going to come into Jupiter and cause a lot of interesting special effects. And, of course, I could say that my fears are that Jupiter will take a look at these comets, will swallow them, will go gloop, and there won't be anything at all for us to see. But I think that's not the right way of looking at this event. The success of this event is not measured by the size of the special effects that we get. This is a fundamental event in the solar system, and anything that happens is going to be great. This is too important an event just to say, well, are the effects as good as they are in a movie theater? It's it's really an awe-inspiring thing we're seeing, and anything we see is going to be fabulous.
There's no chance this is going to have the Comet Kohoutek syndrome where everything fizzles at the last minute?
Comet Kohoutek, 1973. You know, that was predicted. They said it would be the comet of the century. And sure enough, comets have minds of their own, and the comet of the century got shy at the last minute, and very few people saw it. This is a very different kind of event from Comet Kohoutek. That was a comet. The only thing it needed to do was to get bright, and it didn't do that. This is a very different kind of event. This is an event in which a series of comets that has already been very exciting by splitting apart into 21 pieces are going to crash into Jupiter at 140,000 miles an hour. We have no idea what that's going to produce. It may show absolutely nothing. It may be quite exciting and showing new clouds and storms on Jupiter that last for a few weeks. We don't know what that'll do. But we do know that impacts are a major event in the solar system. They've shaped the course of life on Earth here, and they have shaped the building of the planets over the last 4.5 billion years. And the fact that we get to see one is really great. You know, it's almost as if the telephone rings and you pick it up and nature is at the other end of the line and nature says, listen, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to drop 21 comets into Jupiter at 140,000 miles an hour each. All I want you to do is watch. And we're being given this gift from nature, and all we have to do is watch it, and that we're going to do. Anything that happens is going to be exciting. This is definitely not a comet that could become bright or might not become bright. It is not Comet Kohoutek. This is a major fundamental event that we are watching, and it's going to be exciting no matter what happens.
David Levy recorded a couple of weeks ago. He co-discovered the comet that begins crashing into Jupiter tomorrow. You can see some of the images of the crash on a program called The Great Comet Crash, July 20th, on many public TV stations. Levy's latest books are A Quest for Comets and Sky Watching. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.